So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 70, text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
But of course, the power of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Soul, the primeval realm without a second, is neither increased nor diminished by electricity, any more than the sun's power is by its movement. Srila Prabhupada's life in this came in his sense. Your real position is always exalted, exactly like that of the sun, which always remains at the same temperature, both during the time of its rising and the time of its setting. Although we feel the difference in temperature between the rising and the setting sun, the temperature of the sun never changes. You are always transcendently interpoised, unless you are neither pleased nor disturbed by any condition of material affairs. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, and for you there are no relativities. Srila Sharara Swami quotes a similar statement in the Vedic mantras. Nakarmana mardateno kaniya. Shatapata Dhamana 14:7-28 Tatsadiya Dhamana 3:12-9-7 and Vriya Paranyaka Sanshat 4:4-23. He is not increased by his activities, nor does he become dust, as explained here by Kindu. The world is one without a second. There is no other entity in this supreme category, and that it is simply his causeless mercy that he agrees to carry out the orders of his pure devotees like Maharaj Yudhisthira. There is certainly no loss of status for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he thus extends his causeless mercy to his submitted devotees. Some very rich man who becomes philanthropist. He may have $10 billion in there. So he thinks, I've made so much money exploiting others, now let me at least make a show of giving something back. So he donates $1 million here, $1 million there. And in this way he increases his wealth a little bit. He thinks it's worth it because maybe my reputation will become better. I can buy a reputation of being a philanthropist. So he diminishes, he's willing to diminish his wealth for the sake of increasing his reputation. But Krishna, he doesn't have to diminish his wealth when he distributes it. Krishna does not become diminished in any way, no matter how much he may distribute. This thing, that thing, whatever he wishes is distributed. So, in this way we have to understand who is Krishna. Can anyone else do that? Is there anyone? Can even Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, do that? Is there any person we have ever seen in the world who can do that? Who can keep distributing and never run out of things to distribute? That is the unique position of Krishna. Therefore, we can understand Krishna must be God. He has the power to give unlimitedly. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekobhamam yuvudadatikam. It is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad mantra that there is one singular channel among people's channels. And there is one singular conscious being among the plural conscious beings. And what is the difference? Eko Bhavanam Yomadadadikam. That Eko, that one, Bahuna, the many. He is supplying all necessities for the world. Nowadays it is very popular to claim, I am God. We see so many Buddhist incarnations in the coming months. Just like I one time saw a poster that talked about a new incarnation named Maitreya, who is now here in London. Who is Kalki Avatar, described. Now, if they want to pervade someone as being Kalki Avatar, they have their timing off because Kalki isn't coming for another 427,000 years. If you want to advertise on Kalki Avatar, if you want to cheat in this way, you better wait another 427,000 years and try to cheat that I am Kalki Avatar. But if you actually do that, you'll be the first one to get to meet his sword. Goodbye. And because when that Kalki Avatar comes, he will come on a big white horse. He will come charging in with this big sword and lop off the heads of all these rascals. And bring in another Satcha Yuga. But you know something? We don't have to wait for Kalki Avatar to bring in another Satcha Yuga. Did you know that? By the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can bring another Satcha Yuga, at least for 10,000 years we can do. We can bring a 10,000 year Satcha Yuga within the Kali Yuga, Vadi Sankirtan. We don't need a big white horse and a big sword and cut off everyone's heads. All we need is this is a big, big mantra. Mahamantra, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And we can cut off the demoniac mentality. Where is the first demon, demoniac mentality we have to cut? Right here.
Radhika and our own hearts. If we can conquer that demon in our own hearts, then to the extent that we have conquered that demon, the one sitting right here, then to that extent, Krishna will give us shakti, that we can defeat these other demons. So, we don't call them demons out of pride, because we are also in that group. We speak scientifically, let's say. Those who are not surrendered to Krishna, they are demons. We're not judging them, not being judgmental. We're just stating facts. Nowadays, everyone says, don't be judgmental. Yes, that's right. And it is confirmed in the Bible that actually, judge not, lest ye be judged. So yes, we don't. Now, but Krishna, he does it. He's in the position of judge. He says, abhijam dimam mudam, manushin samashtam, parambhavam majanam paumam bhuta maheshwaram. He says, those who deride me when I descend in the human form, they are fools. They do not know my supreme position as the Lord of all that exists. So, we do not judge. So, you cannot criticize us for being judgmental. We are not judging. Krishna is making the judgment. And he is in a position, he is the supreme judge. He is entitled to make judgment. We are not entitled to make judgment. Just like sometimes the judge will rule, this person is a murderer, he should be hanged. The judge will make his pronouncement in the court. And then the reporter, he will come along and he will put on the front page, so-and-so is guilty of murder. Now, can you sue the reporter for libel that he has called someone a murderer? No. He is not called a murderer. He is simply repeating the verdict of the judge, isn't it? So, we Krishna devotees, we don't judge anyone. As far as we're concerned, pandita samadarshana. We see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna and we offer them our respects. Everyone. For us, is a worshipable manifestation of the Supreme Personality of God. Pandita Samadarshana. But when it comes to analyzing this material nature, Krishna has very clearly stated that there are various categories, and we see through the eyes of the scripture, that's all. So we are not making judgment. Krishna is making judgment, and he has instructed us that we should repeat his words in a very nice way, a very attractive way, so that the people will become inspired to surrender. Because is it really possible to be happy if you're not surrendered to Krishna? I mean, can you really be happy if you're not surrendered? I mean, we try to be happy, surely, by without surrendering to Krishna. By making money, by making friends, by trying to get some power and prestige, you know, a nice apartment, a nice car, nice clothing, you know, nice mobile phone, you know. We try to make ourselves happy, propping ourselves up with all these material props. But the bottom line is, it's empty without Krishna consciousness. It really is. I don't care how well situated you are in this material world. If you are not Krishna conscious, you've got something gnawing away in your heart. That I am imperfect, I'm incomplete, I don't know what's going on. So an intelligent person, he will see, yes, I'm missing something. There's an emptiness in you. Why is that emptiness? He will look to see, how can I get out of this bewildered condition of consciousness? that is enjoined in Vedanta Sutra, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human life, you must utilize this human form to inquire about the Absolute Truth. That is the proper utilization. We have evolved to this human form after coming to 8,400,000 species. Jalajanava Lakshani, Stavara Lakshavinshati, Krimayo Rudra Samkhya Pakshinam Dasha Lakshanam, Vinsha Lakshani, Darshavam, Chatur Lakshani, Manasham. It is a great difficulty. Can you imagine going through millions and millions of births and deaths? Sometimes a worm, sometimes a germ, sometimes an elephant, sometimes a tiger, sometimes a tree, sometimes a bee, sometimes a fish in the sea, sometimes a bird. So many species we've gone through. Such difficulty we've endured, the scorching heat, the freezing winter. So many difficulties we've gone through to burn off the reactions for our misdeeds. So finally we're given the chance, all right, now you've burned off so many volumes of misdeeds by suffering in lower species. Now here's your chance. Human birth, you can actually now get out of the cycle of birth and death and regain your eternal position, full of bliss and knowledge, in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. It's a fantastic opportunity. But what are people doing with it? They're simply wasting it. It's throwing it away. It is the greatest tragedy. It is the saddest, most deplorable thing that people have come to the human form and they are not taking the Krishna consciousness. Those who do take the religion, they don't really take the religion in the true sense, because they put themselves in the center. They approach God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. Everyone, the Christian, the Jews, the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Jains, the Hindus, what is that song? Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk saree. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house I see. Om Jaya Jagadita. We are spoiling the human life. We are approaching God just like that Dhruva Maharaj, our great Acharya. He became a great Acharya. But he was approaching God, I want kingdom, give me worldly kingdom. Oh, so many penances and austerities simply to get earthly. Well, it's not that it's beyond the earth, it's the whole universe. To get a material kingdom. Is that intelligent? You may become king of the whole universe, even you become Brahmaji. What is the ultimate good of being Brahmaji? The Lord of the whole material world. Because when Mahavishnu inhales, the whole thing is finished. The whole thing is finished. Why struggle for that which is temporary? Struggle, struggle, struggle for something temporary. You know that yogi? There was one yogi. He was meditating on the bank of the river. And sometimes there would be the scorching heat. Sometimes there would be the freezing cold. And there was some village nearby. And the villagers, they felt, oh, this yogi is here, this sadhu. We want to serve him. So, they couldn't tolerate it when they would be in their nice cottages and they would see him out there suffering. Heat and the cold. So Leilani came and said, Sadhu, our dear Sadhu, we really want to do some service for you. Some Sadhu Seva, kindly let us build you a cottage here. So you won't have to suffer in all these different conditions of material nature. And this Sadhu, he answered, actually, he had a very special benediction. He had the boon that for every hair on his body, he would live for one lifetime of Brahma. That means when the universe is destroyed, he is not destroyed. And that many universal manifestations he would live through, that many, you see. For every single hair on his body, he would live for one lifetime of Brahma. And I can also mention this connection. This particular stage was very, very hairy. So he had a lifespan which is inconceivable for us. How long he would be living. So he told the villagers, he said, thank you very, very much. I appreciate this loving feeling you have. But it's not necessary because I'm only here temporarily. So, we are thinking we have to make big arrangements. But actually, it's not so important to make big arrangements in this material world. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. Everybody has to check out of the hotel today or tomorrow. Just like so many of my godbrothers, they're now checking out of the hotel, going back to the loka. We have many of these kind of centuries. We also have one now in the loka Vrindavan. ISKCON, the loka Vrindavan, you see. And there are many, many devotees, ISKCON devotees there in the loka Vrindavan, serving Krishna and his pastime. Prabhupada is there. Some notes at the end. Okay. So, we should be preparing ourselves by becoming pure devotees. We have many, many activities we're engaging in externally, our body, our intelligence, our mind, activities for pushing on the movement to save the conditioned soul, activities to cover our own maintenance, livelihood, education, etc. And these activities should go on in full swing, very nicely, with enthusiasm. But at the same time, we must not forget what is the ultimate goal that we should be focused on. And that is, we must come to the platform of pure devotional service. Ahaitaki of the Tiyatha, Yiyadma Supersedasi. Why? Because Bhagavatam says, that only when you come to that platform of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted bhakti, only then are you fully satisfied. We see people in our movement who distributed many books, they made many devotees, but they're gone. The most important thing we have to do is to cultivate Krishna bhakti. I remember in Atlanta, there was a big, big gathering. Prabhupada was there. Some room was full. About 300 devotees were there with Prabhupada. And one devotee, he asked, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? This devotee, he was having a traveling sankirtan party, book distribution. So it appeared, the way he asked the question, that he wanted to hear Prabhupada say, he distributed my book, because that was his service. And he really wanted to feel that, yes, I'm pleasing Prabhupada the most. So there was a hushed silence in the room because everybody knew what he was thinking. And everybody was thinking, what will Prabhupada say? Everybody was waiting, what will Prabhupada say? And then Prabhupada's answer was very brief and disappointing, that if you love Krishna, you see, that's what pleases me the most. So we have to remember, whatever our service may be, whether I'm distributing books, whether I'm managing, whether I'm raising a family, you know, I'm traveling and preaching all over the world on lecture tour. You see, whatever I may be doing, pujari work, you know, cooking, restaurant, whatever I may be doing, every one of us has to always remember that the purpose of everything should be to develop our love for Krishna. And if we're not doing our service in such a way that we're developing love for Krishna, what does Bhagavatam say? Shamma eva hi kevalam. It is simply a useless waste of time. So that means, practically, what does that mean? That means you do not do your service mechanically. Like your job, you know, just get over it. The initiation is not finished. When you chant japa, you should dive into the name. Actually, the name, Namamrita Sindhu, you see. There is an ocean of nectar to be found inside this wonderful mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So when we chant, there's different ways you can chant. You can be chanting, sitting on the shore, not even touching the ocean. Or you can be just putting your toes in and dabbling a little bit in the ocean. Or you can just dive completely into that ocean. That's up to you. When you chant your japa, are you sitting on the shore at a distance from the ocean? Or are you just sticking your toes in, dabbling a little bit, or actually you diving into that ocean about every name? So that's up to each and every one of us. And we're sitting there with our japa deep chanting. Am I diving deeply into the nectar of the name? The deeper we dive into this wonderful, wonderful Krishna consciousness, the more the natural, original feelings of love of Krishna will awaken within our hearts. And we'll just become completely happy, completely free of all anxieties. Amazing that one can even feel such happiness. How is it possible such nectarian feeling could even be felt by someone like me who was so sinful for so many millions of lifetimes? So in this way, if we can focus while we're busily carrying on our wonderful activities for Prabhupada, you see, for his pleasure, the pleasure of our Guru Maharaj, the pleasure of our temple authority, the pleasure of our department head, the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. While engaging in all these activities, we have to always try to do it in such a way that Krishna is pleased. We have to really try to live within Krishna at every minute. Not somewhere else, but live in Krishna. Out of completely Krishna eyes are every thought, our every word, and every deed. This is the secret of how we can be relishing the sweetest nectar at every minute. And the secret also of how this movement will extend like wildfire all over the world. Because in this world, everyone is suffering. Have you ever met someone who's not suffering? Everybody is suffering here. Everybody has problems. The poor people have problems. The rich people have problems. Everybody has problems in this world. But one who becomes Krishna conscious, who becomes purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he has no more problem except for one. Do you know what that problem is? That is how to solve everybody else's problem, by making him Krishna conscious. So someone who is purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his only anxiety is how to save these poor souls who are suffering in birth and death. Prabhupada actually gives, in his Bhagavatam purport, the definition of someone who is Krishna conscious. So I ask you, what is the name of our group? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, does that mean that the members are supposed to be Krishna conscious, or are we supposed to be something besides Krishna conscious? What that means is everyone is a member of this society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They are supposed to be Krishna conscious people, isn't it? So we're supposed to be Krishna conscious. Okay. Now Prabhupada has defined what is the mission of someone who is actually Krishna conscious. So that's supposed to be us, because we're supposed to be Krishna conscious, right? This is a very amazing statement of Srila Prabhupada. He says, a Krishna conscious being, and remember, that's supposed to be us. Supposed to be. Of course, the reality is another matter, but I'm saying we're supposed to be the Krishna conscious being. So he says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Do we think that when we get up? How much time do we spend thinking about saving the suffering humanity? Do we even think about it at all? Or we just think about, you know, eating and sleeping? You know what I mean? Money, reputation. We really have to look at ourselves and see where do we stand in terms of actually being a Krishna conscious being. Because someone who's actually Krishna conscious, Prabhupada explains, they're always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And then Prabhupada further explains, he says, even if they are not successful in doing that, their perfection is guaranteed. And anyone who follows such a person, a Krishna conscious being, their perfection is also guaranteed. So the good news is, that someone who does that, it's a win-win situation. Even if they can't even make one devotee, they're going back to Godhead with guarantee. Now in this connection, I would like to share with you something that was also revealed by Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta. This is actually quite amazing. Prabhupada explained to us that he thought that he would not be successful in preaching. Can you imagine? Did Prabhupada think he would be a failure? Here's how he explained it. He said that when his godbrother went to Britain for preaching, the Marquis of Jetland, Lord Jetland, he approached the godbrother of Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? And Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, if you can follow these rules, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. So Lord Jetland immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada told us, when I came to your country, I was thinking, as soon as I tell them no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, they will immediately say, please go home. But let me try. And then we all cheer, jai. Because by Prabhupada's trying, even though he thought he would be a failure, by his trying, we were saved. You understand? So even if I think I can't make one person Krishna conscious, I'm such a neophyte, I have no bhakti, I have no knowledge, what can I possibly do to spread this movement? Even if we feel I'm completely unqualified, totally incompetent, still, as an instrument in the hands of Guru and Krishna, we should try our level best to represent these wonderful sublime teachings to those persons who don't know about Krishna. We really should try our level best and depend on Krishna for the result. You never know. You might actually make a devotee. You never know. You might take a book. You never know. If we all cooperate together, we might revolutionize this whole planet. Prabhupada said in 18 days we could actually completely revolutionize the whole planet. We would just cooperate with him. So now we're a tiny little insignificant fraction of the world population. But it's quite conceivable that the whole world could become Krishna conscious if we see it through the words of the great acharyas. to our own mind, of course, it's absolutely inconceivable. Because everywhere we see karmi, karmi, beer, liquor, prostitution, topless, bottomless, you know, completely degraded situation, getting worse and worse and worse. But the whole world could become inundated in a tidal wave of bhakti. It seems inconceivable, doesn't it? It seems impossible, doesn't it? I mean, just everyday common sense observation. It seems impossible. But yet, our acharyas have predicted it will happen. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he clearly states, it's not nebulous, it's clear as day. He says, Saj Jamna Durjana Pandu Jabda Andagana Prema Vanyaya Du By Law Jagatara Jana. Any Bengalis here? It's in Bengali language. He is saying, whether you are Saj Jana, pious man, whether you're Durjana, impious man, whether you're underlying, Jabda invalid, or the lame man, you see. Whatever your position may be, prema vanyaya du bala, you will become drowned by this prema vanyaya, this tsunami of prema, which will inundate the entire universe. Not just this earth, but the entire universe. Jagatera jana. Every single jiva throughout the entire jagat will become inundated by this prema vanyaya. So, we have that kind of shakti there from our great acharyas for the inundation of this world with Krishna bhakti. So, just like Lord Ram's bridge was going to happen across the Indian Ocean to France. So let us all do our little bit. Whether we are a Hanuman who can bring big, big boulders, or we a little spider who can just put some dust, every one of us must do our part, big, little, small. Just sincerely do whatever you can do, as much as you can do, to bring about this global inundation of Krishna consciousness. As soon as you think about the welfare of all living beings, guess what? You're one of them too. If you think about the welfare of all the living entities throughout the entire existence, that let everyone become Krishna conscious, well, if you act for the benefit of all living entities, then because you're one of them also, then you automatically become benefited. So we did not become the loser for focusing our energies on trying to spread this Krishna Bhavana movement. We did not become a loser. We gain unlimitedly for our own self and for the help we can give to others by taking this position of trying to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. And then, by this purification of consciousness, by engaging ourselves in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those impurities in the heart, that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, which has been sitting in our hearts for millions and millions of lifetimes, these six enemies, you see, they'll be evicted. Seriously taking up the bhakti path means you are serving an eviction notice to six tenants who've been living in the apartment house of your heart. These six tenants have become squatters in the apartment building of your house. So when you take the bhakti path and you're serving eviction notice, Mr. Love, time to get out. Mr. Greed, better pack your bag. Mr. Anger, you're finished. Madness, illusion, envy, get out of here as quick as you can. Because I'm taking the path of bhakti. I don't want you here anymore. You are history as far as I'm concerned. We have to become very, very heavy with each fellow. Really do. It can become very heavy with lust, anger, greed, madness, delusion, and envy. Make sure they get out as soon as possible. Because they're standing in the way of our happiness. We are not meant to be victimized by lust, greed, anger, madness, delusion, and envy. We are not meant to be the victims of these rascals. We are meant to become pure Vaishnavas, the genuine well-wishers of all living beings throughout the entire existence. That is the consciousness we are meant to have. So, if we will take shelter of the Vanabhai spiritual master, if we will take shelter of the association of the sadhus, if we will take shelter of these wonderful books that Prabhupada has given us, and very seriously study these books, very sincerely try to love and the wonderful Vaishnavas, serve them nicely, and be very, very serious to serve the Vanabhai spiritual master with complete humility. If we will take these up with great enthusiasm, then there will be no limit to how much happiness we can feel. And there will be no limit to how far this Krishna consciousness movement can spread. There's so much nectar in Krishna consciousness. We just have to become Krishna conscious. That's all we have to do. We simply have to become Krishna conscious. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Don't be shy. Actually, I know there are many gifts. Now, I'm going deaf here at old age, so say it loudly and clearly. I might be able to hear you. Maybe not. Try.
You were talking about diving deep into the holy night.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What is the art of how to dive deeply into the Namamrita Sindhu, that unlimited ocean of nectar, which is Krishna's holy name? Well, Prabhupada has given us this very nice list. It is called the Ten Offenses. The Ten Offenses are what stand in the way between, you know, they're blocking us. It's like a wall between us and that ocean. So the key is, be very, very conscious that you're not committing any of those offenses. And to say, also, you chant just like a child cries to the mother. Now, we should not misunderstand. I had one disciple, he misunderstood. He heard me say that, so, and then he started screaming, you know, during the japa period, like a little child would scream at the top of the lungs. He was screaming at the top of his lungs in the tunnel. I said, Prabhu, can you chant somewhere else? So he went on the front porch, and all the neighbors are looking at him. We should call the police, you know. But not like that. Not like that. We should, if the mood is complete dependency, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura states, there is nothing but the name to be had in all the 14 worlds. Just imagine if you were starving to death and you finally found some food and it's the only food available. You see, there was no other food. You have this plate of food and there is no other food. This is it. How much you would be careful not that food gets dropped or lost. This is it. So there's nothing but the name. There's nothing else. Your room won't save you. Your sari won't save you. Nothing will. Your money won't save you. Your reputation, your friends, your husband, whatever it may be. I don't know the details. But nothing will save you. Your children, your parents, your brother. Nothing will save you. Only this name will save you. So if there's nothing else which will actually save you, how much I should take shelter of this name? we have to realize everything else will fail me. You see? Everything else will fail me. There's only one thing that I have, and that's the name. So let me take complete total shelter of these things. So in this way, and another tip is that that's Krishna. Do you know that that Krishna's been waiting and watching you for millions of lifetimes? That when will this soul, who is my dear beloved devotee, who made the mistake of thinking that she was me, he's been watching and waiting for millions of lifetimes, when will she come back to me? My dear beloved child, when will she come back? So do you think that now you made the decision to go back to Krishna? And isn't it reasonable to understand that if you beg Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm begging for your mercy that I can dive deeply into your name, do you think he will ignore your prayer? Or do you think he will be very, very happy and he will give you all facility? No, Krishna will give you all facility. You have to beg him, my dear Krishna, I want to completely absorb myself in your holy name. Please bless me that I can do so. So actually there are many, many techniques. Early morning chanting is very good. Not chanting while you're doing something else, you know, driving the car, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You know, one devotee, he was playing with a ball, and had a volleyball in his hand, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Not like that. When you do your japa, it's meditation. Just like these yogi people doing the yoga, they sit down and meditate, you know. You know, they completely, everything, their posture, everything they're trying to make it part of the meditation, they're completely, totally in meditating. So we should do japa in a very meditative way. Go deep into the name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We should go deep, 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 as concentrated as possible on the name. Nice posture. Prabhupada said, sit properly. A nice posture. If we're tired, we should stand up, because Prabhupada saw one servant. He said, sitting means sleeping. He was nodding out during his job. So, in such a way that you can be alert and you can be focused. And if you do that and you avoid the ten senses, then the name will open up to you as an unlimited ocean of nectar, and you can just go deeper and deeper and deeper into the name. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you say that when we chant the holy name, we are asking the Lord to engage us in his service.
That's right.
So, as the sort of chanting we get service, we become overwhelmed with service, and we lose focus on the chanting.
Yes, we're begging Krishna for service, and if we become overwhelmed with service, then we can't focus on chanting, that's what you're saying. So, therefore, you should chant, get all your chanting done before it comes time to do the service. Before it comes time for your service, you should get at least 16 quality rounds finished. I know I was, many years ago, when I was a brahmachari in our Atlanta temple, there was one of my godbrother, But anyway, his service was, he was a cook. And we had a big temple, a lot of brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, and they were working very hard distributing books, and they had big appetites. So he had a very intense service, cooking for all the devotees. And so he had to go right after Mangal Arati, he had to report to the kitchen. And then after the breakfast offering, he had to cook the noon offering. And then, you know, and then he was cooking deity sweets. I mean, he was working like anything. You know, he had a very, very full schedule. So when's he going to do his noon? So he had a brilliant idea. He would get up at 2 o'clock every morning. He'd be all alone in the temple room. He had no distractions. No one could say, can you do this, do that. Between 2:30, he'd get take a shower, put on, you know, tea lock, go to your room. Between 2:30 and 4:30, there he was in the temple room chanting his name. And then, when all the devotees were down in the shadow room, you know, he'd be the brahmachari ashram. How can you take a nap during the day? You know, it's pretty hectic. And at least that was like a bus station. So many brahmacharis coming in and out at every minute. But what he would do was, when all the brahmacharis were taking prasadam, he would take a nap. So he would cook that breakfast song, he would chant his rounds, attend Mangalarti, he would hear the, I think he heard the class from the loudspeaker. And then he would, take rest, and everybody was taking rest. That way he was regulated. He was getting sufficient rest, he was having quality japa, and he was ecstatic. And this devotee, he was very blessed by Prabhupada, because I remember the devotees went to Mayapur, and they had him make some rasagula. They took his rasagula to Mayapur, and they offered his rasagula to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was in ecstasy. He loved his rasagula, and there was a telegram or something. We didn't have an email in those days. A message came back to Atlanta, Prabhupada wants more rasa gula. So he went into complete ecstasy, making more rasa gula, and they shipped him by airmail. They airmailed him to India. More rasa gula for Prabhupada. So he had taken his service very seriously, and he had taken his round very seriously. And because of that seriousness for both his japa and his service, Prabhupada gave him special mercy. So, he had to be creative. I mean, who would think about getting up at 2 in the morning and chant their japa, We think, well, I want to sleep to the last minute. Isn't it? Some people even sleep through Mangalarti these days, which is unheard of. Nobody ever slept through Mangalarti. Everybody. Those are the good old days. But anyway, we can bring those good old days back by being very strict in attending the Mangalarti and the program, and being very regulated in our activities, chanting very good quality rounds. So, of course, the individual, you can always be counseled individually if you're having difficulty. You have your temple managers. And you can always be, explain to them there's some difficulty so they can help you with your schedule. But the real thing is if you're determined, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to have a very good job and at the same time do an incredible first class service. Any other questions? Yes. You better speak louder.
Okay, same for example. <laughs> Because of the question that every day there are so many situations in which we can decide for doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. For example, there are certain situations where we think, oh, no, I actually want to eat now, but instead we think, oh, maybe we're going to serve other people. Oh, I want to what? We are maybe at lunch and we think, oh, I'm hungry, I want to eat. Oh, eat now.
Yeah.
So we think, well, I want to eat, but it would be better to serve the other devotees. This is one example. There's so many examples in the day that we can give up these six energies we're talking about. How can we express our determination to decide for the right reason?
Well, you have to just see, you have to judge that result. I know several years ago, I made a decision in regards to eating, which really paid off for me. I had, in those days, there was no tape ministry when I first joined. There was no MP3 Prabhupada lectures. But they started the Bhaktivedanta tape ministry in Los Angeles, and for the first time, you could subscribe. And every week in the mail, you would get this whole box of tapes, the latest morning walk that Prabhupada gave 3 days ago on Venice Beach. I mean, it was incredible. But here we were, we had all this service to do. Where's the time to really sit down and focus on all these, hours and hours of lectures? And I just couldn't tolerate not having the opportunity, but I was so busy with service. But I came up with a bright idea. I said, well, when everybody's taking lunch, I'm just going to skip lunch every day. I won't starve to death, I'll just take a bigger breakfast and you know, take some more prasadam at night. So I would skip lunch every day, and I would sit in the Brahmacharya ashram with my notebook and cassette player and those tapes, and I would listen, and every time there was something really, really, really powerful, I would stop the tape, I would write it down. So I still have those notebooks, actually. I have many, many notebooks of quotes that I really inspired. And then I would, my service after lunch is to go to the campus and preach in Yeshiva Prashadam. And I learned from Prabhupada. I would hear from Prabhupada, and then 1 hour later I'd be on the campus preaching it to the students. And I could see how powerful Prabhupada's words were. If you just take what Prabhupada said and you repeat it with enthusiasm and sincerity, we made so many devotees on that campus. It was amazing. We had, there was three of us running a little preaching center out of an apartment. And within 1 year, we had purchased a sorority house, 2 buildings, a parking lot, a big property. And we had 25 full-time devotees within 1 year. So it was a very amazing period. And at that time, I decided to give up my lunch and study instead. So sometimes it's actually, of course, you don't want to, you know, starve yourself. And I certainly didn't do that. But sometimes it's actually very smart to skip, to think about serving first and eating later. If you can manage that. We don't really have to always think about our eating first. Just like the what is the system for Brahmachari? He goes out collecting alms all day long, and then he comes back to the ashram of the spiritual master. He gives him the alms, and then if he is not invited for eating, he doesn't even take the shot. He fasts, and thus Guru Maharaj says, now you come and take the shot. So actually, the Brahmachari move, he is not simply running, oh, now I will eat. No, Guru Maharaj instructs Vinny. So, even this prasadam is not that we have to eat. Of course, in the beginning, that could be a very good thing to attract us. Prabhupada one time said, Vishnu Dhammaraj asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what if all someone wants to do is take prasadam and nothing else? Prabhupada said, he can eat prasadam all day long as long as he chants Hare Krishna between each bite. We encourage everyone to take the shaman. But for ourselves, if we can forego our own eating to serve the other Vaishnavas, that is very good for us. That is detachment. That's very nice. Does that answer your question?
Repeating also this example, I was, thank you very much for the relation. I was just also asking in general, how we can, like for example, saying just things despite all this, or prioritizing our chanting, how can we strengthen our determination to always just decide which is better for our spiritual life?
How we can strengthen our determination to always do the right thing? We are meant to be Goswamis. But the sad reality is, now we are Godasas. Godas means he acts for the benefit, he is doing Indriya Seva instead of Krishna Seva. So actually, one should be a bit reserved in one's demeanor. So always see, am I speaking the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? How many times did we just blurt something out without thinking about it and regret it later on that I said that? Oh, why did I say that? So we have to be reserved in our demeanor. Before I speak something, I should think carefully. Before I do something, I should think carefully. Is this pleasing to my spiritual master? You see? If my Guru Maharaj was here right now, would I do this thing? If he was watching me? If Prabhupada would see me right now, would I do this thing? Actually, this is an insider secret, but if you always think that way, then Guru will be there. Krishna will be there. You will feel how they are present and blessing you. If you are always thinking that I must, every word, every thought, and every deed must be done in such a way that they will be pleased, and they will become present, and you will feel how they are present, and they will give you the intelligence how to do everything perfectly. So you simply have to desire that I want to do everything to please my spiritual master. I want to do everything to please Prabhupada every minute. There shouldn't be any nonsense going on in my heart, my words, and my deeds. If you have that determination, you're begging Krishna to give you more and more and more of that determination, then I can guarantee you, you'll advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. And you'll become perfect in due course of time, as you gradually burn off those enemies, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. So, any questions more? Alright, so, I just wanted to make one announcement. I've been asked to make. Jitendra Prabhu is very sick. He's been taken to the hospital. Devotees should pray for his safety, his health. Actually, we can remember in this regard how Prabhupada will always sign the letters, hoping to meet you in good health. So as Vaishnavas, we're always in that mood, wanting that all the devotees should be very healthy and very happy. So in this way, we can, within our hearts, we can very sincerely wish him well in this, in his difficulties, and we can ask Krishna also on his behalf. Prabhupada had us pray also. He allowed us to pray for his recovery. He was very sick in the final days of Vrindavan. He authorized us to pray, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please save Srila Prabhupada. So, in this way, we can always petition the Lord on behalf of the devotee who is in difficulty. So I thank you very much for your attending this class. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.